Amen. Well, I kept waiting for Brother Kenneth to get my text. Stepped all around it. I'm not complaining. I appreciate everything he said. We just continue on with the thinking here. If we're his, we've always been his. If we're his, we always will be. I love that, don't you? That makes me feel so secure. It doesn't just make me feel that. It teaches me that we are secure. So we can't lose it, as Brother Kenneth said. Hallelujah. I tell you, the way the flesh is, if there's a way we could do it, we'd figure out a way. But God is greater than that. And he's blessed us. And in his word teaches us that we cannot be separated from the love of God. Hallelujah. So we can't lose it, but we do need to use it. And Brother Kenneth talked about some do's and don'ts about that. But I want to go back to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. He read from 8, 9, and 10 and so forth. Let's go back to verse 7. I want to start there anyway. Verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Now, Brother Kenneth ended up with a healthy fear. That is a fearing the Lord. That is respecting the Lord and his word to such a degree that it controls our behavior. That is, it influences our behavior, that because we want to serve the Lord, because we want to please the Lord, because he's done so much for us, then we respect what pleases God to the degree that we'll depart from iniquity. That we'll make good choices in our life so that we'll be able to walk with the Lord. So, on the other hand here, Paul says to Timothy, a preacher, at that time he was young in the ministry. He was learning. God had blessed him. Paul acknowledged that God had called him to the ministry, but Paul was helping and encouraging this young preacher, and he says, God's not given. By the way, the Timothy, the very name itself, carries the idea of being timid. I've dealt with that a lot myself in the past. Now, hopefully I've improved a little bit, but I'm basically a shy person. So I can relate to what Paul would say to Timothy. But he says, God has not given us a spirit of fear. Now, he's not talking about that healthy fear that we are to have in respect and reverence to God. But he says, God's not given us the spirit of fear. Where's that kind of fear come from? Yeah, the devil. If the devil can cause us to fear about something, it will hinder us from pressing into the kingdom like we should. And he's won. He's won when he's done that. If he stopped you from pursuing being faithful to God and doing something that would be a blessing to others, because when we press into the kingdom, then we're showing forth more of the love of Christ that's in us. We want it to be seen by others. We want it to be felt by others. We want it to be experienced by others. We want others to know what we've got. Right. And so we want to conduct ourselves in such a way they would want to be among us. Right? That's right. But Satan comes along and says, who do you think you are? You know what you used to do? You know those things in your life that's not right? Yes, he knows. The Lord knows that too. That's why he sent his son to suffer and die to redeem us from our sins. We're justified in the sight of God by the blood of Jesus Christ. And when we obey the gospel, and when we depart from iniquity, and when we do those things that are pleasing to him, then we become justified by our works. But that's only because he's worked in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. But he expects us to use what he's given us to his glory. That's our job as disciples. That's our privilege as those that are redeemed by the blood of Christ. It's a privilege. I know what I've been like in the past. I know what the flesh that I still have to deal with. And yet God is so good to bless us each day. So Paul said to Timothy, God has not given us the spirit of fear. That comes from Satan. That's one of his favorite tools to try to hinder us, nipping at our heels, right? To hinder our walk, to keep us from doing what we could in the service of God. And he's got a lot of ways that he uses that. Oh, I'm not good enough. Oh, I can't do that. You know, he gets us thinking about ourselves. We need to stop thinking so much about ourselves and think about the Lord and his goodness. That's why Paul said in Colossians 3, set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. If all I did was sat around and thought about my abilities, I'd be so depressed I'd never get out of my house. But when I think about God, and when I think about what he's done for me, and when I think about the blessings that I have from his bountiful hand, and when I think about the opportunities that we have to share that love and to do things for others because God has blessed us so, that makes me feel empowered. And that's where I want to go with this. If we want to be useful in the kingdom of God, if we want to be useful in the service of God, if we want to be a blessing to others, which we should be, right? God's been so good to us. Let's be a blessing to somebody else. He gives to us so that we can give to others. That's what he did with his love. He gave us his love, and he expects us to show that love to others. What good is him giving us love if all we do is just use it for ourselves? That's selfish. He expects us to be a blessing to others. And love is manifested in a number of ways beyond just nice words and warm, fuzzy feelings. Sometimes love is just doing for somebody what they need, and they may not even want it. But when we're doing what's right, and when we're following the Lord and desiring to please him, doing what we can for others, that's when we're useful in the kingdom of God, and that's when we're showing forth the love that God's given to us. And when you do that, you'll never run out, because he keeps giving us more. We'll never give away all the love that God's given to us. Isn't that wonderful? And like we say many times, if you want more, just give away more of it. You'll have more of it. I don't know too many things like that, but love is one of those things. The more you give away, the more you get back. Wow. The wisdom of God. The mercy of God. The love of God. So Paul reminds Timothy, God has not given us the spirit of fear, because that hinders you from doing what the Lord called you to do. Now, we're not all called to the ministry, but we all have a calling. And we all have gifts. And we can be useful in God's kingdom if it's nothing more than to encourage somebody. We can do what we can, because if the Lord's given us his love, then we can share it with others. So, he's not given us the spirit of fear. What has he given us? Power. Oh, power. Love. We talked about that already. And a sound mind. Brother Kenneth talked about some things that drives him nuts. You've all got something that does that to you. We all have. Okay? And when you're irritated like that, you're not manifesting a sound mind. A sound mind is settled. A sound mind is confident. A sound mind is trusting in God and desiring to know what to do. You may have some questions that you need answered, but if you're all worried about it and all worked up about it, you're not thinking clearly. But a sound mind, which comes from God, helps us to be settled and confident and trusting Him and saying, Lord, what would you have me to do? And then we're waiting on Him. And while we're waiting, we might be trying to do something for somebody else. We might be serving in that period of time where we're waiting. But whatever the case is, our mind is settled upon trusting God for whatever we need. And you just survey the scriptures from cover to cover, Old Testament, New Testament, and see how God has provided for His people. That's some of the richest nuggets that I have found is reading in the Old Testament and running across a time when there was a terrible problem and God just took care of that problem and He manifested His power and His love and His mercy upon somebody and helped them in a terrible situation. I'll tell you something. That puts wind in your sails to know that God has done that for others and you felt His love and you know that you're one of His and that He cares for you just like He cared for them. He'll help us. He'll help us. Of course, you know, the bottom line is we have to say, Thy will be done. So whatever is according to His will, He helps us. Not giving us a spirit of fear, but of power. Power. What kind of power is that? Well, He's not going to give you the power to rule the world. You know, there have been men, and I'm satisfied there are men today that want that power. They want that power. Well, I think we've got a group of folks somewhere up in the Northeast, perhaps, all over the place probably. But, you know, they just seem like they want to control the world. And I suspect there's always been those kind of people. And I suspect there always will be those kind of people. And they're following who? The devil. The devil tried to exalt himself, right? And he hasn't stopped. And any time he can create fear in the heart of one of God's little children to hinder them from doing what they should, then he's gained another victory. All right, so we need to recognize his devices. Paul wrote to the Corinthians talking about how that we're not ignorant of his devices. Well, sometimes we are. Sometimes we let it slip. Sometimes we forget. Sometimes we follow the flesh and go along those ways and the devil's got us right where he wants us. So we need to remember those things that are sure and steadfast. We need to remember those things that don't create fear within us, but that creates peace and calmness. And I can't think of a better thought to remember than to remember that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And nothing can separate us from His love. Not giving us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. I want to deal a little bit with that power. That power. What kind of power? Do you need some power in your life? Now, I'm talking about the right kind. I'm talking about an enabling that God gives us by His Spirit to help us do what we need to do. Now, before I read some scriptures, let's just think for a moment. Not long, but a moment. I can think of some times when God gave power to help some of His people. I'm thinking of three Hebrew children that were cast into a fiery furnace. A furnace so hot that the people that cast them in were consumed by the flame. It was hot. It was real. But God exercised power to preserve those three. Now, were they super saints? Did God just choose to immediately, I'm going to just protect them from the fire? I could hear the wheels turning. These three were faithful to God. They, with Daniel, chose not to defile themselves. They departed from iniquity. They chose ahead of time, before they started heating the furnace, before there was the music to play for them to bow down to, before all of that, they were faithful to God. And you know what happened when the trial came? Just Nancy's read that before. God was faithful to them. Now, there's always exceptions. But what I'm presenting to you is the rule. If God has blessed us to know Him and love Him, then let's follow His word. Let's be faithful. Because in so doing, we will be empowered by His Spirit. And those three Hebrew children, when the test came, when the image was set up, and when they said, now we're going to play the music, and when we play the music, everybody's got to bow down and worship the image. And they played the music, and practically everybody bowed down. You know, I've just kind of tried to imagine that scene, and you see all these people bowed down, and all of a sudden there's three heads sticking up. And the king, they told the king, and the king said, well, maybe they just didn't hear. You know, maybe they're hard of hearing. Maybe they're slow to understand. So they told them again, we're going to do this again. And you just bow down. And they played the music again. And you look all the scene. There's those three heads still sticking up. The king, his wrath was so kindled. And he eventually said, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? Remember that? And you remember what they said? Oh, king, we're not careful to answer you. Listen, it wasn't a matter of not hearing. It wasn't a matter of not understanding. They understood perfectly. They understood if they did what the king was wanting them to do, they would defile themselves before their God. They would be bowing down to some idol just because of what man had said. And they said, we're not careful to answer you, O king. Our God is able to deliver us. And if not, He will deliver us from your hand. Remember that? Guess what happened? That king was so angry. He said, you heated up seven times hotter. It was already hot. But it was seven times hotter. And like I said, when they cast them in, bound, the people that cast them in were consumed by the flame. But the three Hebrew children, when the king looked in, did we not cast in three? Lo, behold, I see four. And the fourth is like unto the Son of God. Now listen, here was an occasion. Now, that was the king that said the fourth is like unto the Son of God. And I believe that God just gave him that understanding because He had said, who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? And so the Lord just showed himself to the king. Here's an instant where God exercised power on their behalf. But we also see they had a habit of being faithful to God. And God delivered. You know, every one of us here probably would have chosen to have been delivered from going into the furnace. I would have. I'm sorry. I would have. That fire's hot. But God had something better for him. And they were delivered in the furnace. Well, they were eventually delivered from it, but they were delivered in it. They could have stayed in there as long as they wanted to. As long as God was pleased with them to be it, they could have stayed until the fire went out. They were safe in the Lord. They were trusting in the Lord. They were faithful to follow the Lord. And the Lord exercised power for them. That's part of being empowered. And you can go over to Daniel, and Daniel, when he was cast into the den of lions, and you see the same thing. Those things are in the scriptures. Those whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. So when we think about those things, it helps us to remember, like Paul told Timothy, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. God has the power, and he can give it to whom he will when they need it. Now, we've got a lot of situations in the scripture where we find God has done that. But that's not the general way that he empowers us. Especially in the New Testament, we have an abundance of scriptures that shows us how that he works in us. He gives us his spirit, and he enables us to live in that way which is pleasing unto him. All right, and it's in keeping with what Brother Kenneth has already said to us this morning, but I want to, in the just last few minutes here, after Paul says these things, and after he tells us about the glorious salvation that we have, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy, according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and new of the Holy Spirit. To Timothy, he says, he saved us and called us with that holy calling, not according to our works. So we're safe in the Lord and what he's done for us. And bearing that in mind, then Paul eventually would say in verse 12, for which cause, he tells him not to be afraid, not to fear. He says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Paul, in being faithful to God, Paul, in serving the Lord, had to suffer a lot of things. And we shouldn't expect that we're going to be exempt from all of that. Look at Joseph in the Old Testament. How he had to suffer. And he was, the Lord was with him, and he was faithful. And so Paul says, nevertheless, I've suffered a lot. He said, but nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. That's encouraging for us to remember that, isn't it? We know who we believed in. We know who has saved us. We know he is able to deliver us. We know he's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so every day when we begin our day, we ought to think about that. Lord, there may be some things happens today that catches me off guard. There may be some trouble I run into today. I don't know what's going to happen, but I know you'll be there with me. I know you're there for me. And I know you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And so whatever is your will, we know that you can keep us in it. And all that Paul suffered a lot. He was stoned, drug out to the city and left for dead. They thought he was a goner. He thought he was a goner. You read 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and he talked about there was times that he despaired of life. But God had mercy on him. And so because of that, he realized he had trusted, he could trust. He realized that God had delivered him, that he doth deliver. And he says, we trust that he will yet deliver us. Not giving us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so we are to lay hold on this precious gift of life that God has given us and use it for his glory, for our blessing, for the benefit of others. That's what Christianity is all about, isn't it? Loving God and loving one another. How much simpler could it be? Now, that's a painting with a broad brush, but the details of Scripture fill in the blanks. How we can go about doing that in the little things of life. And I'll tell you something, if you'll apply the love of God to the little things in life, you'll grow. It'll be a blessing. We have so many more opportunities to show love in little ways than we do in great big ways. And if we're not faithful in the little ways, we're not going to be faithful in the big ways anyway. That's what the Bible says. So, Paul said, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able. You know, that's the first part of that. I love to think of an able God. I love to think that nothing escapes his watchful eye. I love to think that nothing is too hard for the Lord. Now, I know there's those foolish questions. You know, I remember being in school one time and these evangelists came and talked to our school one time and said, you know, he opened up his talk by saying, is anything too hard for the Lord? And of course, you said, no, nothing's too hard for the Lord. And he said, well, now, could he make a rock so big that he can't pick it up and throw it? He has all power. He has all love. He is able to do his will. Paul said, I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him. Have you committed something to him? He committed something to you a long time ago. He committed his unending love to you a long, long time ago. He committed your salvation through his son. That was God's eternal purpose. He committed that to you because he chose you, because you're his, that he took care of saving you from your sins. God became flesh. You say, well, wait a minute, no, it's Jesus that became flesh. Well, the Word became flesh. Well, he's God. Emmanuel, the Old Testament passage, his name should be called Emmanuel, means God with us. Yes, it's the Word that was made flesh and dwelt among us. God took upon him human flesh to save us. He committed that to us. And what God commits to, he's able to perform. And it's going to happen. So Paul said, we know that God's committed some things, but this is what he said. And I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. So we know what God has committed to us. Have we committed something to him? Do we desire to be faithful to him? You know he's able to keep us in it. If we have committed to try to live in a way that's pleasing to him, so that our life itself would say, thank you, Lord, for all of your mercy and all of your blessing and all of your provisions that you so freely give us each day. If we want our life to say that, if we commit to doing that, he's able to keep it. He will empower us. He will help us. He will provide what we need to do just that against whatever comes against us. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to stumble and falter along the way. That doesn't mean that sometimes without thinking, some part of this old flesh is going to pop out. That happens. But bless your hearts, we're preserved in Christ Jesus. We're safe in His blood. We'll be His in all eternity. And if we commit our life to Him each day, He will empower us. He will help us. Paul said He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. And that power comes in being faithful to Him. Departing from iniquity. Walking in fellowship with Him. Holding on to those precious promises. Looking for the appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's coming. I don't know when, but He'll be here when it pleases Him. But bless your hearts until then. May God help us to remember He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. And there's other passages. Just real quickly. When Peter talks about adding to your faith. See, that faith is something God gives us, enabling us to hear His word and to follow Him. And so Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1, add to your faith. And the very first thing he says is virtue. Virtue. Now that virtue is not just goodness that's in somebody. Virtue is a love that loves so much that it trusts and that it's courageous. The word that you find in the dictionary is valor. Why are we courageous to serve the Lord? Because He's been so good to us. Because He's promised to take care of us. Because we're eternally secure in Him. Well, why wouldn't we trust Him? Why wouldn't we be willing, like the Hebrew children, to be thrown into a fiery furnace? If we're trusting God, we're going to trust that He'll take care of us. If He chooses to let us burn up like a crispy critter, then we'll just be with Him in glory. But if He chooses to deliver us like He did the Hebrew children, we'll sing His praises forevermore. I tell you, I love that Old Testament story because there's so much there about how that there was people gathered from all over the earth that were there on that occasion and they saw the power of the one true and living God. And when they went home, I'm sure they said, "Let me tell you what I saw over there. You won't believe it." God is that good, and He's that powerful, and then some. He's never shown the full display of His power. I'm going to tell you, the greatest of His power that's been manifested toward us is when He gave His Son to save us from our sins. Surely, He has the power to take care of us each day. May God bless us to be like the Apostle Paul. Say, "I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day." Then we can say, like Paul said in Philippians, "I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengtheneth me." Amen. Now that's somebody that's wanting to do the will of God. That's not just a saying that, you know, if we just use His name, we can do anything in the world we want to. No. We're talking about in service to Him. What's pleasing to Him. What would be in keeping with His will. He will empower us. He will enable us to do what His will is for us in this life. He's not given us the spirit of fear. If you're fearful in the service of God, then Satan's got you somewhere. And you need to pray, "Lord, help me to see what's causing this fear and help me to trust in You." May God bless you is our prayer.